Okay, well, good morning, everybody.
Morning.
It's almost exactly 10 o'clock, so we'll kick off at the time we said. Welcome to this preliminary meeting for the... excuse me, I've got a bit of a frog in the throat this morning, so I may well just sort of cough a few times. Excuse me on that one. Preliminary meeting for the examination into the development consent application by Multifuel Energy Limited for the Ferrybridge Multifuel 2 power station. Just for the record, by the way, this is being recorded. It's the 4th of December 2014, and we are in Nottingley Town Hall. Introductions, first of all, in terms of myself, I'm Dr. Mike Ebert. I've been appointed by the Secretary of State for Communities and Local Government to be the examining authority for this examination, and to report to the Secretary of State for, in this case, energy and climate change, on whether the development consent should be given. I'm actually, by background, a chartered civil and structural engineer. I'm also a fellow of the Institute of Consulting. Housekeeping matters first. Mobile phones, if you wouldn't mind switching those off, please. I know it's one of those things that can be amusing sometimes to have ringtones ringing, but not today, perhaps. So we'll have those switched off, if you wouldn't mind. The emergency exits, this is where I do my... Basically, they're at the end there where you came in, and they're also at this end as well. And there's a muster point at the front of the building off to the right as you come out. So if there is a fire alarm, it's for real, apparently, because there isn't a test expected today. So evacuate accordingly, if you would, please. But don't just go home. Do go to the muster point, because we need to check everybody in. Okay on that one? Right, a note is being taken of this meeting, and also an audio recording, which will be lodged on the Planning Inspectorate's website with the project information. So if you do speak, please use a microphone, and please do speak clearly. And I'm told that you need to speak directly into it rather than off to the side, otherwise you won't be heard. So that's just a matter of audionics, if you wouldn't mind, please. Is anyone intending to record or film these proceedings independently? No? Okay. And I would say, if anyone is proposing to use social media at all, please do so responsibly. Okay, that's the housekeeping. The rest of the introductions, first of all, the case team. On my right here, Sarah Jones, the head of the case team for this particular application. And at the back there, we have Lowry Thomas, who's a student placement working with the team. And back at base, back at the Planning Inspectorate, there's a team of experts on environmental matters and legal matters that also are here to assist this application. So that's the team. Can we just see who else is here, please? If we can start with Multifuel Energy, the applicant, if you wouldn't mind introducing yourselves with your name. And then for the rest of your organisation.
Morning, sir. My name's Jeff Bullock. I'm from Dalton Warner Davis, a planning consultants. We're representing Multifuel Energy, who are a joint venture between SSC and Wheeler Brader Technologies. So to my right, I've got Ian Pybus, who's the project director from SSC. To my left, I've got Richard Lowe, who's from URS, who's heading the environmental work on the project, and then next to Richard, I've got Chris Ratcliffe from Wheeler Brader Technologies. There's a number of other representatives from the applicants just sort of sat in the audience as well today.
Thank you very much indeed. Thank you. And who else have we got here today? We've got someone from Wakefield Council, I believe, have we?
Yes, you do. My name's Janine Laver, and I represent Wakefield today.
Thank you very much. And to your left is...
I'm Gerard Sullivan, Planning Officer from Selby District Council.
Thank you very much. And who else have we got
Morning, I'm Rachel Jones. I'm from the Environment Agency's Sustainable Places team. My role is to coordinate the Environment Agency's response to the DCO application.
Thank you very much. Very good.
Morning.
Morning.
I'm Jackie Dennis from the Park Home site, which is at the south side of Multifuel 1.
Yes, I know where it is. Yeah, thank you very much.
My name is Margaret Gill. I also live on the park directly opposite the Multifuel.
Thank you very much. Anyone else who wishes to make their presence known today? You, sir. Okay. You'll need a microphone.
Hello. Hello, good morning. My name is Paul Willans. I live at the Ferrybridge Lockhouse, directly just below the A162 flyover bridge, and I'm directly affected by the logistics of the fuel deliveries.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Okay, that's us done. Thank you very much for all those introductions. Now, the purpose of the meeting today is to consider procedural matters only relating to the way the examination is to be conducted and the timetable. We're not here to discuss the merits of the application today. There will be obviously opportunities to do that through the course of the examination, through written representations and hearings, but not today. Procedural only. The examination will start the day after the preliminary meeting closes, and on the assumption that this one closes today, that will therefore be tomorrow. As soon as possible after that, I'll issue what's called a Rule 8 letter. Sounds a bit procedural, and indeed it is, but it's just a letter basically updating the timetable and informing you of procedural decisions made by me in relation to the examination as a result of today's meeting. So that will be as soon as possible. And that will also be available on the Planning Inspectorate website along with all the other documentation. Now, there are three main agenda items today. One is the examination process, which I'll take you through for those of you who may not be too aware of it. That's the first item. The second item is a review of the initial assessment of principal issues, but only insofar as they affect the structure of the examination. And the initial assessment by me was contained in Annex C to the letter that called this meeting. That's called the Rule 6 letter in procedural terms. And the third item on the agenda is the draft timetable. And I know some of you have made sent letters in requesting modifications to that timetable, and I'll invite you to speak when we reach that point. So those are the three items. The examination process, I know some of you will be very well aware of it, so do bear with me while I go through this for those who won't be aware of it. The purpose of the examination is to enable me to make a recommendation to the Secretary of State for Energy and Climate Change on whether the application should receive consent. That's called the Development Consent Order. The process is governed by the Planning Act 2008. It's very well structured. And that Planning Act applies to all nationally significant infrastructure projects, of which this is one. The process is inquisitorial, as it's called, as opposed to adversarial, which is often the case in courts that you will have seen. This is inquisitorial, which means that I'll be leading in asking questions to establish what's important and relevant to the Secretary of State, to enable that Secretary of State to reach a decision. And also to enable me to test the evidence presented through those representations. The primary method of examination is through written representation, but there's also a provision for certain types of hearings, and I'll come back to those in just a moment, but it's primarily written. Now, the Rule 8 letter, that's the one that I'll send out after this meeting with the modified and updated timetable. That will include my first written questions. And again, they'll be available on the Planning Inspectorate's website. Those questions will be based on the relevant representations, as they're called. Those are the ones that were made by interested parties in the pre-examination period. made by all interested parties, including statutory consultees, and also my own assessment of the principal issues so far. So that letter will then set deadlines for receipt to those questions, responses to those questions, comments on the relevant representations and other matters. Depending on the answers, there may be a second round of questions. That second round of questions is not so far included in the draft timetable, but there is space to include it if necessary. And within the Planning Act, I may also seek further information at any time under rule, what's called Rule 17, which enables me to do that. I mentioned hearings, and there are three types. Open floor hearings, which can be requested by any interested party, open floor hearings. Compulsory acquisition hearings for affected persons, that's those whose property or rights are affected by compulsory acquisition. There is no compulsory acquisition requested by the applicant for this particular application, so that won't apply to us, unless you tell me otherwise. And that's the second kind of hearing. And the third kind of hearing is issue-specific hearings. There will always be one as standard on the development consent order, and there may be others according to the issues that come to light through the course of examination. So three types of hearings, and they're all timetabled in draft form anyway, in the draft timetable. The timetable also identifies dates by which interested parties must let me know if they wish to be heard at the open floor hearings, so we can take that into account too. My report to the Secretary of State will have my recommendations on whether the development consent order, either in its current form or probably more likely in an amended form, should be approved. So the timetable does contain a date for a hearing on the development consent order. The timetable also includes a date for an accompanied site visit, and that's in March. And that, basically, in a nutshell, is the examination process. Are there any questions on the actual process at this stage? The actual process of the examination. No, everyone's shaking their heads or looking blank. Understandable. It can be a bit bewildering, I know. But it's a very well-structured process, and it's been used to good effect on many nationally significant infrastructure projects. It gives everyone a chance to have their views heard, and it gives the very best framework, really, for a fair assessment of an application towards consent or otherwise coming out of the end of that process. Okay, the second item on the agenda is the initial assessment of principal issues. My initial assessment was included in Annex C of the letter of the 10th of November, that's the one that called this meeting. The list isn't intended to be comprehensive at that stage or exclusive, and the headings are really quite broad. If other issues arise that appear to be important and relevant, they will be taken into consideration in the examination. And I would just ask at this stage, are there any other issues that interested parties, yourselves, would like to raise that you think might affect the structure of the examination at this stage? Just the structure, we're not looking at the merits of the examination, I stress that again. No? Okay. I would now invite the applicant, Multifuel Energy, to speak on the principal issues cited in your letter of your email of the 20th of November when you responded to the invitation to attend this meeting. You said you'd want to speak on transport and traffic, ecology and natural environment, and socio-economic impact. But again, do bear in mind we're not dealing with the merits of the application here, just procedural issues.
Thank you, sir. I think on the basis that we're not dealing with the merits, we're content not to speak on transport and traffic or ecology and natural environment. The issue we raised regarding socioeconomic, really just related to a bit more clarification on what your interest was in the agricultural land, but again, that's probably something that's probably more appropriate for the examination or the hearing sessions themselves.
That will certainly come up through my questions, my initial questions, and indeed subsequent questions, but I don't think there's anything probably to take on board today in that regard, is there?
No.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
So those are the principal issues. Then there's the timetable for the examination. Again, that was set out in Annex D to the letter that called this meeting. One point to note overall, by the way, in terms of the process, is that the Thursday, the 4th of June 2015 is the date by which the examination must be completed, assuming it starts tomorrow. I might close it earlier than that. If the examination, from my point of view, is complete. But that would depend on how the examination goes. But it has to be complete within 6 months. That's the statutory rule. And I would say, by the way, after that, I then have 3 months to write a report and a recommendation to the Secretary of State, and the Secretary of State has 3 months beyond that to make his decision on whether the development consent order in the form that's tabled to him should go ahead. Right, so if we go through the timetable, and again, I know that one or two of you did ask for amendments to the timetable, and I'll invite you to speak on those when we reach those appropriate points. The first item is the preliminary meeting, which is today. So we can say tick to that, well, here we are today. The second item is the the issue by the Planning Inspectorate of the examination timetable and my first written questions. Now that's currently shown as the 9th of December 2014, but I may push that back, I may well push that back a week. But again, we'll take that in a bit more detail as we go through this. As I say, I know that both Multifuel Energy and Wakefield Council have requested a little bit more time. That probably relates more to deadline one, the next item, so if we can take your points when we get to that, it might be the best place to take them. So deadline one, which is currently scheduled for the 13th of January 2015, is the deadline for receipt of comments on the relevant representations, that's the representations made in the pre-examination period, summaries of those representations where they exceed 1,500 words, written representations from interested parties, and again, summaries of those representations where they exceed 1,500 words, local impact reports from the local authorities, one or more according to how those local authorities brigade themselves, and statements of common ground, which I've spelled out in a bit more detail in Annex G. We already have 8 statements of common ground from the applicant, so we're actually ahead of the curve in that regard compared with many examinations. What's probably needed here is confirmation that those statements of common ground are in fact current and any changes that have been made to them since they were produced. Plus, I've suggested a couple more. One would be a statement of common ground between the applicant and the local authorities. And one other one I think I mentioned in one of my questions, and I'll table that with the next letter. Plus, of course, responses to my first questions. So those are the things that we'll be looking for at deadline one in January. You, the applicant, and Wakefield, you, I think, thought that time frame was a bit too tight for you, so maybe you can have a word on that now.
Thank you, sir. In terms of the overall timetable, you're right, we're comfortable with that. Our issue is just in relation to deadline one, and I think what had originally been indicated to us, although I appreciate it's only a draft timetable at that stage, an indication of it was that the your first questions would be issued around the sort of 18th of December, and then deadline one would be a little bit later in January, more towards the end of the month. And that worked better for us in terms of availability of sort of members of our team in the run-up to Christmas in terms of responding to the questions, because clearly it's a pretty tight turnaround to deal with those, and there's other work streams going on as well in terms of statements of common ground, etc. So our preference was to go back to that original timetable that had been indicated, so to have the questions issued a bit later in December and be provided with a bit more time in January to respond to those if possible.
And Wakefield?
Yeah, we feel the same. I think we understood that the preliminary timetable was preliminary, but we had based the workload around that. I'm a consultant that's been brought in to do this work. Wakefield actually don't have the capacity to undertake the local impact report themselves, just because of the number of major applications they have ongoing. When I was engaged, we had this discussion around timelines and have set the work accordingly. But on top of that has come a committee meeting, which Wakefield ordinarily provides to elected members, although they have no influence over the impact report. They do have an obligation to report it to that committee, which would be the 15th of January. Now, to get the report completed up to committee services would mean having the impact report complete by Christmas Eve, and that's just not feasible for us. So we would be looking to push back as a minimum of 7 days, but ideally 14 days on the
deadline. One, a minimum of 7 days, preferably 14 days.
Preferably 14.
Yes. Okay, I'll take that into consideration then in drafting the finalised timetable. 7 to 14 days, is that the sort of thing that Multifuel Energy was looking for?
Yes, sir, we'll be comfortable with that.
Okay, thank you very much indeed. Just to say, we normally allow 3 weeks for responses to the initial letter and questions. We allowed 5 weeks in this case because of Christmas and New Year, but I do take into account your specific circumstances. We'll take those into account. So that's deadline one, deadline two. Obviously the other deadlines will then cascade back a little bit, the whole timetable, consistent with that. Deadline two is the deadline for which we would need receipt of comments on the written representations at deadline one, responses to those comments, and comments on the local impact report, things of that sort, plus of course comments on responses to my questions. You'll notice that there's plenty of opportunity here for people to comment on people's own representations and to comment on those comments. So hopefully a good rounded process, giving everyone a very good chance to have their say and a good say in how the examination is proceeding. So deadline, hang on, I'm going to skip one. No, it's deadline two. Item five is notification by me of the actual details for the hearings, the open floor hearing, the issue specific hearing, and the attended site visit, currently scheduled in March, but we'll finalise those dates and we'll circulate those in good time. We'll just wait while the sound system's sorted out. Okay. Is this still working? Sounds like it is. Good. So that's deadline, that's item five on the draft agenda, is the issue by us of the actual dates and times and venues and so on for the hearings and the accompanying site visit. Deadline, item six is deadline three, currently scheduled for the 17th of February, but probably to be pushed back a bit now. And that's the deadline for receipts to comments on the written representations. Receipts for responses on the comments to the local impact reports. Comments on any revised draft DCO, development consent order from the applicant. And comments on any other information submitted at deadline two. Excuse me. Hope my throat holds up for the next few minutes. Okay. Item 7 is in fact the date reserved for the company site visit, currently the 10th of March. And I would say if you'd let me know, you or any other interested parties would let me know if you want me to look at anything in particular during that accompanied site visit, please do let me know, either through a written representation or indeed a separate letter to the case team, to Sarah. So that's the accompanied site visit. And of course, interested parties can also attend the accompanied site visit as well, if you wish to do so. So that's currently on the 10th of March. It's worth saying, by the way, that I like any other citizen, I can't just go onto the site and walk around it without actually asking to do so. So that's the reason for an accompanied site visit. But of course, I have been around the area, had a good look around, and got a good sense of what it's like just by doing that, just by driving around and having a look. Also reserved in March are dates under items 8 and 9 for open floor hearings, if anyone calls one. And specifically the meeting on the draft development consent order. That's the opportunity for interested parties to contribute on that. And any other issue-specific hearings that may be deemed to be necessary as a result of the examination to that point. So all that leads us up to deadline 4, which is item 11 on the draft agenda, draft timetable. We should at that stage have a revised draft development consent order from the applicant, Motor Fuel Energy. We should have written summaries of the oral cases presented at the hearings a few weeks earlier. Obviously any information requested by myself at those earlier sessions. And comments from anyone on everything that's gone before. So that's it, really. That's deadline 4. Deadline 5 is the opportunity, really, for any interested parties to comment on the applicant's revised draft development consent order. Again, any other information requested by myself and comments on information received at the previous deadline. So, I hope, as you can see, the timetable allows plenty of opportunity for interested parties to table representations and to comment on representations made by others. That's the idea in the process. And item 13, the final item on this draft timetable, is the final date by which the examination must be completed, which, as I said, is 6 months after the date following this meeting. And as I also said, I've then got 3 months to write a report and a recommendation to the Secretary of State, and the Secretary of State has a further 3 months to make a decision. So is there anything that anyone wants to say about the timetable beyond what we've already discussed? No, again, people shaking their heads and nodding, and good. That's the three items on the agenda. Is there anything else that anyone wants to say about the examination procedure?
Where will these meetings be held, etc.?
Well, would you mind using the microphone? Thank you.
Where will these meetings be held, if, you know,
where will they be
local?
Held? Probably in this very building.
At this building?
Probably in this very building. Yeah. That's all to be confirmed, but it depends on availability of venues and so on, doesn't it? But they'll be local, they'll be easily accessible to all interested parties. That's a key principle in this process.
Thank you.
Any more? Nope. Well, that's it. It's a short meeting. It's only meant to be procedural, and we look forward to undertaking the examination with you. Thank you very much indeed. Good morning.
Thank you.
Thank you.